Quick news out of the NFL. 26 seconds to go on the old Twitter machine. Adam Schefter.
What do you got?
Washington linebacker Reuben Foster did indeed suffer a season-ending torn ACL today.
Oh.
He was. Sarah, and I apologize if you mentioned that in your update. I didn't hear
no,
you mention
you're good. That.
Season-ending torn ACL. His season is done. It lasted 10 minutes. They were 10 minutes into their first practice.
Wow.
And he tore his ACL.
They claimed him off waivers from the 49ers just a couple of days after he got arrested on suspicion of domestic battery. So some woman said that he pushed her in the chest. Fans were all over the Redskins at that time when they signed him. But they did, you know, they did sign him. And now he is out for the year with that injury. So, you know, big blow in camp early for the voluntaries. I mean, that's tough.
So when you're coming off a season where you're 3-13, you fire your coach after 1 year, you in essence fire your franchise quarterback after 1 year. It's safe to say that if you're the Arizona Cardinals, you've got flaws. You've got lots of flaws. And it's not the kind of thing that one good draft or one round of free agency is going to fix. You're 3-13. It might take you a year or two to get back to that level of respectability. Will Brinson of CBS Sports was looking at the Cardinals roster, and he said, look, offensive line might be the flaw. Defensive line might be the flaw. How they replace Patrick Peterson might be the flaw. I think, and this is his words, not mine, I'll take the coach. Cliff Kingsbury is, by all accounts, very smart and very good at what he does scheming up offenses, but he's also a first-year NFL head coach going up against the best of the best when it comes to defensive coordinators. Is Cliff Kingsbury,
I'll buy it,
the biggest flaw of the Arizona Cardinals right now?
I don't know if he's the biggest flaw.
The main flaw? I mean, I don't know how
to... You're not really a... I mean, here's the thing. I mean, you can't really describe somebody as a flaw until they, like, failed, right?
Yes.
Offensive line's a flaw because it's failed. Like, it's failed. It's been a flaw. We don't know. Like, how do we know that he's not going to be a good NFL coach or not?
Well, I guess it just depends on how, you know, if I take a piece of paper and fold it up into a paper airplane, right?
Yeah.
And I don't fold it the right way, you can look at it and go, that's flawed. It's never going to. Well, how do you know until you throw it? How do you know until you take this paper airplane and throw it in the air that it's not going to go flying? Well, I can tell just by looking at it. You've made the folds in all the wrong spots, and you put the this in the wrong spot, the that in the wrong spot. I think what Will Brinson is looking at saying, I can just tell by looking at him that he is going to potentially be overmatched against some of these defensive coaches who have been doing a long time.
By looking at him, I understand what the guy's saying. Like, one of the biggest question marks is, can a coach who failed at the college football level come into the NFL as a first-time coach and have success? That's a question mark.
Okay.
It's not a flaw.
So if you replace flaw with question mark, you would say it's Cliff Kingsbury?
Because, like, a flaw, like, I know what flaws are, you know? I mean, I have a lot of them. Trust me.
I'm glad you said it.
Yes.
Because we were all tripping over each other to chime in. Well, yeah, you should know what flaws are.
That's right. I do have the greatest comeback now for everybody that wants to correct my grandma. That was on Game of Thrones last night.
Your grandma?
My grandma.
Why are we talking about your grandmother?
No, not my grandmother, my grandma.
Oh, I thought you said your grandma.
No, G-R-A-M-M-A-R.
Oh, your grammar.
Yeah, grammar. Grandma.
Your grandma, your grammar. I've never said a bad word about your grandma in my life. I don't know what you're talking about. What's the comeback for people who rip your grandma?
One of the guys on, did you see that part last night, Jordan, where he goes, you master a grammar now too?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that part?
Yes.
So I screenshotted it. I'm going to come back at all you son of a guns when you come after me like that. Yeah. That's my answer for the rest of my life when somebody questions how I talk or...
How you pronounce words.
Pronounce words or anything.
Your somewhat limited grasp of the English vocabulary. You're going to come at me with, you master of grammar now too?
Go ahead. Somebody rip me on Twitter right now. I'll show you my response. Go ahead. Somebody tell me that I can't speak well. Go ahead. Somebody be our first one. Who wants to be the first idiot? I got a good comeback for you. First person that rips me, I got one for you. So there's the flaw thing is just not the right line to use because you would need to have failures. Like if Steve Wilks came back as the head coach of this football team, Cardinals' fatal flaw is that it could be their head coach. I mean, because of everything he did. you know, not developing the players, blaming the players, not taking responsibility. I mean, hiring a bad coaching staff. That was a flaw. Like he was, but I don't think Kingsbury, you could say that yet just because we haven't seen him do anything.
Check your Twitter. I might have been the first one to tweet you. I'm not sure. Just possible. I was the first one.
Okay, watch this. Watch this. Here we go.
Drop it like it's hot, baby.
Yeah, you're going to love this. This is my new comeback right here. This is my new comeback.
Cliff Kingsbury today.
There you go. Take that sucker. Yeah. Did it show up?
I got to refresh the page here real quick. And yes, it did.
Yeah,
there it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep. All right. Yep. Yeah, all right. I feel yep. Okay.
That's my new comeback.
That's your comeback. It's a good comeback. It's a good comeback. Cliff Kingsbury
today.
That's
the guy. Cody Whitney wants to get on it, too. Yeah, I got one for you, too, there, Cody Whitney. There. Take that. All of yous. That sits there. Oh, another guy, Jason Alden.
Oh, they're all lining up
coffee.
Now.
Say yeah, coffee. They're... Coffee. I'm going to say I got one for you, too. Now, here you go. This is my new one. I'm going to use this every single time.
That's not That's not going to get old.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. Cliff Kingsbury from today. How often are you going to use those four wide receiver sets you were known for in college?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's going to be... You know, adjusting to this level and this game, and there's going to be things we can do and we can't do, and we understand that as an offensive staff, and so we're still working through all of that.
Look, I don't expect him to hand over the playbook to people in the media, but he does continue to be very vague about what his offense is going to look like, isn't he? And I suppose that's the right play, but he's being very vague about what it's going to look like.
Yeah. Now, listen, I've spoken with players who are extremely excited about it, and there's going to be a lot of difference and a lot of wrinkles, and I sat down with Cliff on Friday. So we had a long conversation. We talked about the offense and everything a little, you know, we talked about the tight ends and the offensive line and the quarterback and all of these things, but he's very vague. I mean, he doesn't want to go into detail about what it's going to look like because I think in some ways it's a work in progress. You know, he did speak to Lincoln Riley, the head coach at Oklahoma, and tried to find out what kind of plays can I use that really, really worked for Murray that, you know, so he is like doing his homework. He knows Kyler Murray very well. But he also checked in with his college football coach to say, give me some stuff. Give me some plays, man. Yeah. Give me what worked best for you. I'm going to run these in the NFL, too.
Major tip of the cap to our guys, Bickley and Murata, broadcasting live this week from OTAs, continuing. What is this, 5 straight years now? I think they've been out there at OTAs, being given access that other shows, other media outlets are just not being given the opportunity to do their full four-hour show from out there. Christian Kirk was a guest on Bickley and Murata's show today. He thinks the sky is the limit for this offense.
The sky's the limit for us. You know, you look around and we have so many guys that can be, you know, dynamic game changers, and, you know, our offensive line is coming back together, and, you know, those guys are healthy, and, you know, we got a bunch of veteran presence up there that's going to help Kyler out, and getting those guys back up, you know, up front is going to help us a lot because, mm-hmm. you know, that's where it starts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those guys have definitely have a chip on their shoulder and, you know, are going to rise, you know, and rise their level of play. But, you know, I think, you know, it's just a new confidence, you know, like I said, just a new energy in the building. And, mm-hmm. you know, we know that Cliff is going to give us the opportunities to go out there and make plays as an offense. And, you know, because that's his bread and butter, you know, we as an offense, that's where we start. And that's where, you know, hopefully this team is going to run.
A.Q. Shipley went on a national radio show and he probably jokingly, but suggested Cliff Kingsbury is going to run an offense out of the shotgun 99% of the time. Kingsbury was asked today, is it realistic to run an offense out of the shotgun 80% of the time? Here's what he said.
I'm not sure. That's another thing we're working through to see what the best balance for us was. You know, last year Kansas City was 80% plus, and they were decent on offense. So, yeah, not bad. So we'll see. Whatever fits our team best is what we're going to do.
I think if somebody asked him right now if they were going to take Kyler Murray with their first overall pick, he would be like, you know, we're still sorting it through. I'm just not sure. I mean, we're going to – no, wait, you already drafted him. No, I'm just not sure. You know, I'm just – you know, we're thinking about it. We're keeping all our options open. Look
– very vague.
You got your answer right there. Play that again. And the Kansas City part tells you exactly what the answer is.
The 80% of the time one? Okay, here, hold on.
I'm not sure. That's another thing we're working through to see what the best balance for us was. You know, last year Kansas City was 80% plus, and they were decent on offense. So, yeah, not bad. So we'll see. Whatever fits our team best is what we're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's your answer. They're going to run it. They're going to run the pistol, shotgun, however you want to call it. They're going to run that 80% of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's going to give him the ability to see the field better. It's going to give him the ability. It's going to give him a little bit of room to maneuver, to step up in a pocket, to step outside the pocket. It's going to buy time. So 80% is a really good number to think that they'll be in that offense.
The D-backs' start to the season surprised many, but after a sub-500 homestand, they might start to tread into the territory of no man's land, which is where you do not want to be if you're the Arizona Diamondbacks. We will explain next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Said something earlier. I want to check it out just to be sure. I don't doubt you, but I hadn't really looked at it this way. You said that if the season ended today, the Diamondbacks are still a playoff team.
I thought they were tied for the second wild card when I looked yesterday.
Let me look real quick.
Take a look.
Yeah.
Might have been frustrated by the loss, but that's what I looked at.
Okay, hold on. It's taking me just a second. Dodgers have the best.
Yeah, you've been away for so long, it's hard to try to figure out where the computers line up and what you got to hit. And do you even remember where your login is to get on the website? Did your key card work to get in the door? The key card worked.
Everything was good.
Do you remember which parking spot number you
had? Oh, I never forget what parking spot number I have. Yeah, I always, because I loan it out when I'm on you finally have your own now. I offered it to Jordan. Dodgers have the best record in the National League. The Cubs out of the Central are second. The Phillies out of the East are third. Milwaukee has the next best record. No, the Diamondbacks right now have the 1, 2, 3.
They're a half game out of a wild card spot.
Half game out of a wild card spot. They're half game behind the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Half game behind.
For the last wild card spot.
Okay.
So, all right. Look, I know the season doesn't end today. It's ridiculous to
when I looked at it, they were tied. It must have been before
Pittsburgh.
Well,
when you looked at it, it might have been yesterday afternoon when you looked at it, yesterday morning when you looked at it. But they're
I was too busy watching the college baseball game.
Well, it's very distracting for all, I know. Yes. And they're tied with the Atlanta Braves as well. So a bunch of
Tied with Atlanta.
Okay,
right,
so it's all way too early to have this conversation.
How could the Pirates be ahead of them? The Diamondbacks have beat them 17 times this year.
I know.
You see the Diamondbacks record when they don't play the Pirates?
Yeah, it's not very good. They're 5-1 against the Pirates.
Here's the Diamondbacks
right?
against the Pirates, and here's the Diamondbacks against everybody else.
Yeah, they're 20 and they're a 500 team. They're 20-21.
I think they're like two games under 500, aren't they?
Well, I said one game under 500. I think they're 20-21 okay. when they play the Pirates. So they've played either five or six. They've played six against them, I think. Anyway, the point about the Diamondbacks is this. They're in a really funky spot
right now. I hate this spot.
And it's a very uncomfortable spot if you're Mike Hazen, if you're Torrey Lovello, if you're the Arizona Diamondbacks.
The worst spot to be in.
You are in it.
But are you?
But are you in it? And if you're not, should you act like you are? You know, how far do you go to act like you are actually in it when, in fact, you might actually not
be in it? Yeah, I need more certainty about where they are, so thank God they have some time.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're in the same spot as the trade deadline comes, it becomes impossible to make trades. It makes impossible to subtract. Because then your fan base is like, what are you doing? Like, two games out of a wild card spot. What are you throwing in the towel for? Go get players to help.
Right.
You know, you got to go for it when you're close. So that's the thing. And I was looking at this yesterday. It's like they're in that, I don't want to say no man's land, but they're close to it. Like they're in that spot. Like, okay, right now you're in go for it mode. Right now you're in go for it mode. You're right there. But if you fall a little further behind, you might not be. You might not be. And then you might be able to trade players because there's players that you could trade, whether it's a Greg Holland or an Adam Jones. There are players that you could, maybe even a Robbie Ray. You know, maybe you could.
Possibly, sure.
Now,
possibly.
The trade deadline is July 31st. So you've got plenty of time before you get there to realize if you're in it or not. But just keep in mind, like, you know, where they are right now is not really. You're in it. Right now, you're in it. You would have to make moves to try to add players.
I wonder if team president and CEO Derek Hall had the song Stuck in the Middle with You going through his head when he told Doug and Wolf last week that
we're stuck in the middle
right now.
You know, rarely do we say, as you guys know, and maybe it's a fault of ours, rarely do we say sell. But going into the season, we had all said it's going to be an interesting season because it could go really one of two ways. We don't think it could go right down the middle. And right now, we're sort of down the middle, but more towards the win and buy, and we'll see what happens. But it could go two different ways. It was short, that short bridge, that connector to the talent that we see coming up here, and we didn't see a need for a complete rebuild, but you also have the ability to make changes if you need to if the season wasn't going well. We haven't experienced that at all. You know, it's been a wonderful season.
I mean,
can't for the life of me think who sang that song.
Oh, I looked it up. I didn't write. I didn't.
I cannot. I literally for the whole. I didn't hear one thing Derek Hall just said.
You were thinking about who sang "Stuck in the Middle with You."
Who the hell sang "Stuck in the Middle with You"? And I don't know.
Steelers Wheel.
Oh, I wouldn't have got that if you gave me 2 years.
No, I know. Steelers Wheel.
I wouldn't have got that if you put me on the night's watch and left me there for like 5 years.
Song charted at number 8.
You can leave when you get the name of the band who sang that song. I would have been stuck there forever, me and Jon Snow.
Stuck in the Middle with You by Steelers Wheel. I never heard of them.
No, what? Whenever you hear this
Reservoir
song.
Dogs.
Okay, exactly.
Reservoir Dogs.
That's where, exactly where I was going to ask
you. Which is a movie I know Gambo's never seen. But you and neither is Sarah.
Reservoir Dogs?
Reservoir Dogs was Quentin Tarantino's first ever movie. Not Pulp Fiction, but it was like Pulp Fiction in that it didn't tell a story from beginning to end. It hopped all over the timeline, so you'd hate it.
Gambo loves that.
But there's a scene
Hello? He's talking into the guy's ear.
That's right. Wait, is it Mr. Orange, Mr. Black? Which one is Michael Madsen? I can't remember.
I can't recall his.
But he's torturing one of the other criminals that he thinks is a cop, and he's doing terrible things to him, and he's doing terrible things to this song. He's humming this song and he's kind of dancing around while he's.
So this song is in that movie.
Oh yeah, it plays a very prominent role in Reservoir Dogs. Yes,
I don't know. I don't like. Give me like two other movies this guy's done. Quentin Tarantino.
Django Unchained, Kill Bill Volume 1, Kill Bill Volume 2.
Didn't like.
The Hateful Eight. Inglourious Bastards.
Stupidest movie ever.
Jackie Brown.
Inglourious Bastards was one of the dumbest movies of all time. This guy's terrible, this guy, Quentin Tarantino. I'm just going to say it right now.
Well, Gamble's really going to be looking forward to the new one he's got coming out this summer.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which I am so psyched up to see this summer.
This guy's movies are terrible. Pulp Fiction, terrible. Inglourious Bastards, terrible.
Oh. Boy.
Well, I mean, it is no Shallow Hal. I mean,
Kill Bill, in all fairness. Kill Bill is terrible.
It's safe to say there's not one character in a Quentin Tarantino movie who has a tail like, what's his name? Alexander? What's the actor's name? The guy who played George Costanza on...
Jason Alexander.
Jason Alexander, who had the half tail in your favorite movie, Shallow Hal.
Yes.
There's not one character in a Quentin Tarantino movie who has a half tail like Jason Alexander does in Shallow Hal.
Wait, Shallow Hal is truly your favorite movie?
Oh, he loves that movie.
No, it's not my favorite movie.
But he loves that movie.
No, he just loves that movie. It's my favorite comedy. Okay. I just... You got a tail? I gotta say it. I don't want to see it. I got to say it.
Sounds amazing, yeah.
You've never seen it, Shallow Hal?
Not like years and years ago, yeah.
Yeah, I saw it once. It was funny. It was typical Farley Brothers, kind of funny, but
I laughed so much. It was so funny.
Sarah, I know you're still kind of in your first year here on the Burns and Gambo show. Shallow Hal, he plays the Shallow Hal card a lot.
Oh, okay.
A lot.
Come on, girls are going to love you. You're doing really good. You make it like 22.5. No, like 24. Yeah, see?
He can even quote lines from Shallow Hal.
That's good.
I'll give you credit because I can't remember which character Michael Madsen played in Reservoir Dogs, and you're quoting lines from Shallow Hal.
I was gonna say,
you out-movied the movie guy today.
Quentin Tarantino's. This guy's movies are terrible. God, I don't like any of them.
Man, I love his movies.
Reservoir Dogs.
Okay. Reservoir Dogs. Yeah. Love those movies. Don't check it out. You'll hate it.
You'll just come
in here hating us for telling you to watch it because you're not going to like it. You're going to be confused by it. Just don't even bother.
Mr. Blonde.
Mr. Blonde was Michael Madsen. Okay. Thank you. They all had code names because it was a big heist. It was like a heist movie. Mm-hmm. One was Mr. Black, one was Mr. Orange, one was Mr. Blonde, and I couldn't remember who.
And this guy's movies are popular because guys were Mr. Black, Mr. Orange, and Mr. Blonde.
Extremely popular. Yes. There are guys out there who have written books about the movies of Quentin Tarantino. Wow. Yes, absolutely. Oh, it's true.
Wow.
What were we talking about anyway? What were we talking about here? Oh, the Diamondbacks being in no man's land.
Stuck in the middle with you.
Derek Hall's quote that I didn't even listen to. You played a Derek. I was trying to think of what the sang the damn
song. Let me play it again.
Listen to it this time.
Yeah, here we go.
You know, rarely do we say, as you guys know, and maybe it's a fault of ours, rarely do we say sell. But going into the season, we had all said it's going to be an interesting season because it could go really one of two ways. We don't think it could go right down the middle. And right now we're sort of down the middle, but more towards the win and buy, and we'll see what happens. But it could go two different ways. It was short, that short bridge, that connector to the talent that we see coming up here, and we didn't see a need for a complete rebuild, but you also have the ability to make changes if you need to if the season wasn't going well. We haven't experienced that at all. You know, it's been a wonderful season.
If they're where they are a month from now,
They're in it.
A month and a half from now, they're in it. I don't know if they're going to be going adding
a bunch
of pieces.
The thing is that, man, Granke's pitching so well. He gives you an opportunity. Luke Weaver's pitched fantastic for them. I mean, he's been a really good... You know, the wins above replacement between Luke Weaver and I'm not a wins above replacement guy at all.
The fact
I'm
that
not.
You're citing wins above replacement makes me think somebody has replaced you while I was
Jack
gone.
Jack Magruder or somebody. And they were showing the two of them are actually higher than Goldschmidt's. Because, like, Goldschmidt's isn't that good right now. Yeah.
It's not.
Like, Goldschmidt is not having a good year.
His time in Phoenix only lasted one season. But according to reports, Igor Kokoschkov, potential landing spot? Interesting report. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Igor Kokoschkov, the Memphis Grizzlies. Interesting.
I hope Igor gets another job somewhere. This was, as I've said before, it's like the blind leading the blind when you have a young coach and a young team.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bad mix. You could have a young coach with a veteran team, or you could have a veteran coach with a young team. But it doesn't usually work when you put a young coach with a young team. Because it's more like the blind leading the blind. And so that was one of the problems that they had. If there were more veterans on the team, you know, and the veterans buy in and then the young guys follow, you know, and Igor, listen, you always learn from your first one, right? So I'm sure if he could do it again, he would do things much differently the second time around than the first time around.
Sure, sure.
You know, because there were definitely issues that Igor had as the head coach of the Suns. And I had a player tell me that he never seemed like he was in charge, that it was always Prunty that seemed like he was in charge. Had another one tell me they never knew what their roles were. There were no defined roles. That Igor was very controlling with the offense, having to call a play on every single possession. When they wanted to get out and run and transition, it kind of slowed them down a little bit. So I'm sure he learned from some of his mistakes that first go around. And if he gets another opportunity, it'd be better. I'd be surprised if Memphis hired him. But I'm glad they're at least taking a look at him.
ESPN's Tim Bontemps was the one who reported that Kokoschkov recently interviewed for the vacant head coaching position with Memphis. If nothing else, Memphis has something that the Suns did not and could not acquire in Igor's brief time here, and that's point guard. They're either going to have Mike Conley or they're going to have Ja Morant. Maybe they'll have both when it's all said and done, but I'm sure they'll have at least one on their roster. So at least he'll have a grade A point guard through which he can run his vision of what he wants to do. I hate to say that a guy is a known commodity after just being a coach 1 year in this league. I don't think it's fair to say that about Igor, but I would be very surprised if he got another head coaching job. I think
this quickly.
It was certainly this quickly.
It'd be like if Steve Wilkes got a head coaching job after going 3-13.
Yeah.
It doesn't usually happen that way.
Yep.
You got to take an assistant's job. You got to work your way back up, and you get another chance someday. And I think some people look at the Suns organization and be like, okay, I'm going to give you a benefit of the doubt there. That was a tough spot to be in. But, you know, a lot of these guys don't get head coaching jobs after they leave here. You know, after Gentry and after D'Antoni and Gentry, these other guys have kind of nobody's got a head coaching
Hornacek.
Job. You know, Lindsay.
Hornacek got the Knicks.
Yeah, Jeff did. Jeff, you're right.
Hornacek got the Knicks.
Because he had the get the Knicks job.
And I'll be honest with you. I was surprised by that, too. I was surprised that Jeff Hornacek being about as non-a New York guy as you could possibly imagine, right? If you were drawing up a guy who could survive as coach of the New York Knicks, I don't think you're drawing up Jeff Hornacek in your imagination as a guy who's wired to handle that place. And he did. He was there for, what, a couple years when it was all said and done? I kind of lost track of time.
Yeah, I think he got it to his third year. I mean, Jeff's a good coach.
Oh, he's a good coach.
I mean, he's going to be a good... Like, he'll be back as somebody's lead assistant sometime very soon and then work his way back into being a head coach again.
And that's what I thought about Igor. Igor, if nothing else, sort of proved himself as, hey, if you want a number one assistant, a guy who can diagram and scheme the you-know-what out of a whiteboard on the sideline during a timeout, Igor's your guy. If you want a guy who can develop younger players, a la Donovan Mitchell, a la some of the younger guys he developed when he was here with the Suns under Alvin Gentry, I can buy that as Igor Kokoschkov. But having the skills requisite to be an NBA head coach, I don't know if he's got those, and I don't know if he's ever going to get those. I just don't know if that's who he is as a person.
Really just goes to show you that there's not a lot out there, huh? Yes. That Memphis is just bringing him in. Like, there's just not a lot out there.
And again, just interviewing him. Nothing for sure. Just interviewing him.
No, and a lot of times, you know, sometimes there are guys that just, you know, hey, listen, I need to just stay in the loop, man. Just bring me in for an interview so that way my name stays out there. It does. I mean, agents work it out with the team sometimes. Just bring this guy in, please. You know, I need to keep his name out there, make it look like, you know, teams are looking at him. I think Igor will end up as an assistant coach somewhere and then maybe get another chance down the road.
That's a really good point. That does happen a lot more than people understand. Is like, let's say the guy, I'm just speaking hypothetically here because I don't know. Let's say the guy representing Igor Kokoschkov is the same guy representing Malcolm Brogdon. Okay. I'm just, again, purely hypothetical. Okay. You interview Igor Kokoschkov as a favor to the agent so that you can get somewhere in line to have a chance to pitch yourself to Malcolm Brogdon. Now, again, I'm not saying Malcolm Brogdon to the Grizz. I'm just kind of using that as an example of a coveted guy that we were talking about earlier. That goes on all the time.
Sure.
All the time.
I know plenty of coaches who have told me, yeah, I'm just going there. I have no chance of getting the job, but I just want to keep my name out there.
Sure.
Just want to keep my name out there.
The NBA playoffs, it's a shame that in some ways it feels like this Eastern Conference Finals is almost going to be wasted. And by that, I mean,
because the Warriors are just going to walk home with this.
It's an entertaining series. Last night's game, God, Kawhi Leonard playing out of his mind. And the Bucks played so poorly. Giannis did not shoot well. Chris Singleton did not shoot
well. Giannis was guarded by Kawhi, and Kawhi did a really good job on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Toronto didn't shoot well either. But Kawhi ended up coming up big down the stretch. I mean, even after Siakam missed the free throws, and they were able to win that game and make it 2-1. Milwaukee looks like they're the better team. Where in the West, I mean, I just, you know, Portland could give it as good a run. They can't beat them. They just can't beat them. And Draymond Green is playing out of his mind right now.
Yes, I mean,
you can make an argument that Draymond's been the best player on the court, and Steph's playing great. And it's just, there's just too many weapons on Golden State for Portland. And Lillard and CJ, listen, that's as far as you're taking them. You're not going any farther than that. Like, that's it. Because they don't have enough talent on that team to be able to, you know, to go past this round.
Giannis, Middleton, and Bledsoe last night combined to make 11 of 48 shots.
Yeah, Bledsoe was terrible.
I mean,
Bledsoe was terrible.
And Giannis ended up fouling out, and Siakam after the game.
And then Drake was waving goodbye.
Yeah, Drake.
Bye-bye.
Exactly.
A lot of guys fouled out in that game. Toronto had Lowry fouled out. Another guy, a lot of guys fouled out.
Siakam felt bad because if he hits any of those free throws, then they don't have to extend. I mean, Kawhi Leonard basically played an hour's worth of basketball when you add up all his minutes. It was, what, 52 minutes
he played for Kawhi.
So almost an hour for Kawhi Leonard last night. But it's too bad unless you believe Milwaukee can give Golden State a series, which kind of feels difficult to believe. What I'm impressed by more than anything is how, and I don't know what it means big picture for the Warriors, but boy, they are playing so well.
Without Kevin Durant.
Without Kevin Durant.
Yeah, they don't need him.
They are making this case for, I know they talk a mean game about wanting him back.
Right now, they don't need him.
They don't look like they need him at all.
You can make an argument that without him, they don't win the last two. Like, if they didn't have Kevin Durant, they wouldn't have won the last two. I mean, anybody be stupid to... They can win it without him is the right way to phrase it. But you'd rather have him than not have him.
Sure.
Like, anybody says, oh, you're better off without him. Really? He's Kevin Durant. He's one of the best players in the league.
Yeah.
But they've got plenty of options. I mean, Draymond is playing so well right now. And I think these guys are very fired up and motivated to prove that that they can win without Kevin Durant, because they know he's bolting. They know he's out of there. He doesn't want to stay.
Based off of what I've seen, don't you think that they play with a lot more joy without him than they do with him?
Yes.
I think they play with a lot more joy and spirit without him than they do with him, because I think with him, they know he's taken 25 of their shots. You know, in some,
it just seems to be more team basketball, a lot more passing. Yep. Because, you know, the one thing you could say about Steph, Clay, and Draymond is they're very unselfish. Andre Iguodala, who was questionable for the next game. These guys are very unselfish. KD, you know that KD, and KD's a very talented player. We all know that. But, you know, he's going to get his points. And I don't know, for some reason he's not happy there. It all looks like he's going to the Knicks.
We've got the Burns and Gambo podcast. If you subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android, you'll never miss any of the show. The Burns and Gambo podcast brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealer. It was only one picture. But it's provided the Kyler Murray conspiracy theorists a little more ammo for their speculation. Not that it really matters that much at this point. We'll explain next here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Well, I don't want no show. Oh, man. Oh, really? Oh. You totally asked Jordan to play this, didn't you?
I swear to God, I did not. I totally did not ask him to.
The seed was planted earlier in the 2 o'clock hour.
I did not. Did I ask you to play this?
No, but the song did get mentioned.
Yeah.
How did this song ever get by? Like, this song would never go around today.
It is supposed to be a satire. It's from Randy Newman, who is generally considered. He's not being serious when he writes the stuff. I think he's just kind of, it's kind of a joke song more than anything. But it is amazing. Did you see? I'm sure you did. You saw the picture, right?
I didn't think anything of it. I didn't think anything of it.
But people, okay, this is one of those where I swear I didn't make anything of it. You didn't make anything
right,
of it.
Right, but other people did.
But this is one of those things where, wow, people made something out of this. It's a picture from the NFLPA's rookie premiere, like a rookie symposium, right? And there's a lot of the high-profile rookies who were drafted this year.
Right.
Three Cardinals are featured prominently in the front row, I might add. There's Hakeem Butler from Iowa State. There's Andy Isabella. And there's Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is standing next to former Oklahoma teammate Marquise Brown, who is listed at 5'9", and if you look at the picture, would appear to be taller than Kyler Murray. If the 5'9 Marquise Brown is taller than Kyler Murray, how tall is actually Kyler Murray?
Maybe Marquise Brown's on his tippy toes.
For those who haven't seen the photo yet, we just tweeted it from @BurnsandGambo.
There you go.
All right, so go check it out.
Be another reason for you to follow @BurnsandGambo on Twitter if you're not doing it already. Exactly.
Did you look at the photo, Sarah?
Yes, I'm looking at it right now.
Did you think anything of it when you saw it?
Yeah.
You did?
I did.
You thought he looks kind of short in the picture?
Yes.
Did you?
Yes.
Jordan, did you look
My first takeaway of looking at the photo was how much bigger Butler is than Isabella.
Yes.
I wasn't even looking at Kyler Murray. Butler is standing right next to Andy Isabella, and he is three times the size of Andy Isabella.
Andy Isabella could stand on his tiptoes times 10, and he's not catching Hakeem Butler in there. You could get him a step ladder, and he wouldn't be as tall as Hakeem Butler.
Who's number 15 right next to Kyler Murray?
That is Marquise Brown.
I didn't know that. Like anybody looking at that, do you really know who that is?
Well, I didn't until they identified him as Marquise Brown.
And they're saying he's 5'9".
And I guess Marquise Brown tweeted out, hey, it got so bad, all right, just to prove that we're not nuts and we're making this up out of thin air. Marquise Brown tweeted, I saw on Twitter about an hour ago, I think, it might have been before that, hey, everybody calm down, I'm not as tall as Kyler Murray is. So even Marquise Brown felt like he was compelled to tell everybody, calm down, everything's going to be fine. Right, Sarah, did you find it? Did you find the Marquise? And he basically said, don't worry, Kyler's taller than me, right?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. People are really freaking out.
My God, he is what he is. They measured him. 5'10". He's small. He's not big.
My eye is just drawn to Andy Isabella. Like, that is where.
Oh, why?
That's where my eyes go.
Why is your eye drawn to Andy Isabella?
because of the gun show that Andy Isabella has going on over there?
Totally. That's what that
is. He's got the gun show working right there in that photo. There's no doubt, zero debate that Andy Isabella is flexing in that picture.
Yeah, that's not what I was talking about.
Oh, yeah. There's none, right? He's got his arms behind his back, and there's no doubt he's clenching and flexing a little bit because he's got those sleeves and they're riding up real high on those arms, and the gun show is out for Andy Isabella.
Sure, he did some push-ups before too, like the movie set trick. Yeah. Hold on, give me 100.
I
gotta fill these muscles with blood. Yeah. Hold on,
exactly. You pump it up just a little bit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you're looking vascular, bro. Isn't that it?
You're looking vascular. Is that what the young kids say at the gym these days? Dude, you're looking vascular, man.
Yeah, bro. You're looking vascular.
I put my headphones in. I never get to hear what they say.
Yeah, Gambo would know better than all.
I'm there all the time, but I have the headphones
in. Some young dude hasn't come up to you at the gym and said, dude, you're looking vascular, man.
Bruh. Whoa.
Bra.
Whoa.
That's the word. There's words.
You're dope, man. You look vascular.
Yoke.
You look yoked.
I put a picture up the other day when I was at the D-Bat in Avondale.
And someone said you look yoked?
Yoked. Yeah, dude, Gambo's yoked. I got to get on that M drive. That was it. I'm telling you.
That's right. I remember seeing that tweet. Yeah.
Did you see that one? Yeah, it was yoked.
Yeah. Also, a lot of people calling you out for using a softball bat. That was the bat I had.
What?
I'm just letting
you know.
They
didn't have a selection of actual baseball bats.
They did.
There
I used
D-bat
that too.
On Friday.
They used that too.
They just conveniently didn't photograph you using this alleged baseball bat that you may or may not have used.
I was ripping some.
Tim Ring will account for that.
Yes, I was ripping.
He called
good.
You a switch hitter, didn't he?
Yeah, I was doing well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yoked. I got yoked. I can't see where it is. Yeah.
I'm sure it's in there somewhere. Yeah.
Like egg yoked.
Yoked. Yeah, you're yoked. You're
yoked.
But vascular. No, man, that's a new
one. I've never heard anybody say I'm vascular.
That's absolutely a new one. Look, at this point, what are you going to do about it? If he's not 5'10 and 1/8, too late.
He's not 5'10 and 1/8.
Then he's not 5'10 and 1/8. He's your number one pick, and you just traded Josh Rosen for the 62nd pick in the draft overall. It doesn't matter anymore. You better figure whether he's 5'10 and 1/8 or 5'9 and 3/4 or whatever the heck Kyler Murray
is. I looked at this picture, and I didn't think anything of it. I don't know how people make... It's like the Game of Thrones water bottle thing. Like, how do people pay that much attention with damn photo? Like, how?
Well, don't you think after that...
I'm looking at this photo. Like, we knew he's small. But I didn't like, who's that guy next to him and what's his height? And who's the guy next to him and what his height? I just didn't think that much about it.
Don't you think after the first mistake with Game of Thrones with the Starbucks cup that people were extra, had their antennas up to look for other similar type mistakes in Game of Thrones?
1,000%.
That's what I think. I think it's, if they accidentally left the Starbucks cup in the episode, what else do they have?
And it's the same thing with Kyler Murray. Because this is so new, this is so experimental, everyone is looking to pick this apart until we actually see what it looks like on the field.
I hope he shoves it down everybody's throat.
I do too. Plus,
Not because I'm rooting for the Cardinals, but just shoves it down everybody's throat with this height thing. Like, it is what it is.
There is still this conspiracy theory, and I still don't quite understand where it came from, because I was, here's a shocker, on vacation during the NFL scouting combine. I know you won't believe that, but it's true.
I've been on vacation a whole year.
I was out of town during the NFL scouting combine.
Let's do a poll. Honestly, let's put a poll up, because it's May 15th. So far this year, through January, March, April, May, 3.5 months...
Oh, I can tell you exactly how many I've missed if you want.
Has Burnsy worked more or taken off more?
We're at 5.5 months.
January, February, March, April.
Stop it.
4.5. January, February, March, April.
No. It's May 20th.
Okay. So almost 5 months. Has Burnsy actually worked more days or taken off more days?
All right. Are you tabulating your days off right now?
Yes, I am, as a matter of fact.
All right, we'll put it out there.
All right,
that was that.
Yeah, and don't even say anything. We're just going to put the poll up. Don't say anything. We're going to just going to see what people think.
There's that one.
Yeah, and that one. That week, don't forget the other week, and then the other week. And then, he's off
and
this
that
Friday.
One time. Oh,
he's
that's
off
right.
this Friday, too, just so you know. Yeah. He's off this Friday, too. Yeah, just put the poll question up. We don't want to tabulate all the days.
I've got the numbers.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that you've raked them a little bit, too.
Oh, stop. That's what you would do? That's not what I would do.
Me?
Oh, yes, you.
No, I don't.
Yeah, well, you used a softball bat at the batting cages. Yes, you would be the one to rig the numbers.
I brought my bat with me.
Yeah, your softball bat with you.
What? You know, but
the one with the giant barrel on it.
I play in softball leagues, and they have softball and baseball. I wanted to hit a couple of softballs, too.
Well,
to get some practice.
I'm sure you did.
Look, you never know when Jenny Finch is going to show up at cages. to be prepared.
I would not want to hit off of her.
No. No one wants none of that.
Strike me right out.
I'm going to get torched on that question.
Remember she married a guy that was on a Diamondbacks for about 45 minutes?
Casey Daigle.
Yeah.
I thought they were still married.
They're still together.
Yeah. Wow,
they're on a farm in Louisiana or Alabama.
Casey Daigle and Jenny Finch are still, big time.
He couldn't get anybody out, but he married Jenny Finch.
She gets them all out for him.
Yes.
She's on top of
that. She probably watched the games like, I could do better than you. Yeah. Like, seriously.
She probably.
I'm watching you pitch for the Diamondbacks.
He probably went home after his starts and said, honey, you could have done better than me tonight. And she said, yeah, I know I was. I probably could have done better than you. Yes,
oh, my God. Casey Daigle.
The homestand did not go the way they wanted. And in the process, the Diamondbacks' biggest issue is now a full-blown big deal. How big of a deal? We'll talk about next here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Dude, you're looking vascular, man.
Yeah, brah.